Lesson 2, creating the resonance of the Northern Scandinavian accents. In my approach to accent and dialect training, one of the most important things is to generate a specific resonance or quality or tone focus of the voice, to find that part of the vocal structure, the oral cavity or the structures around it, on which the greatest part of the energy of speech seems to be focused. Now, in the standard American accent, which I've just switched to, I identify that point of maximum vibration as being approximately at the midpoint of the oral cavity, halfway up over the rear part of the tongue, between the tongue and palate, sort of in a place where if you put one finger from each hand into the hollows of your cheeks and pushed and opened your mouth, and if your cheeks were flexible enough, the spot where the fingers would meet at the center of the mouth. No, the Northern Scandinavian accents tend to be much more forward in the mouth, and they're created by a muscularity much more involved in the lips than in that action of the back of the tongue from the American speech. 1, 2, 3 with the back of the tongue moving, and 1, 2, 3 with a lot more lip action. We're going to go through a series of exercises for creating this tone focus or placement. In the first one, I want you to think of a glide or a push forward with the lips, so that the sound, the vibration, or the energy of the voice moves out of that mid-cavity focus and gets stretched forward with the lips. Now, we're not all that concerned about the very, very front part of the lips pursing or pushing forward. We're not looking for this sort of thing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, with a very small opening or aperture, like you're going to whistle, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are some Asian, like the Farsi or Persian or Turkish Pashto languages and accents that do use the lips that way. Now, here we're talking more about the rear structures of the lips, the parts of the lips that are more skin-covered, behind the area that you would think of as being flesh without skin. Now, you're going to push forward with the rear part of the lip structure and go and feel the sound in a cavity that's being created by those lips pursing forward, and it's like the sound is being caught between the two lips. Let's start with that. We're going to do some other things to refine this resonance in a few minutes. Let's start by counting loudly. 1, 2, 3 in your normal voice, your normal accent. Feel the energy in the middle of the mouth. Feel the movement of the rear part of the tongue. 1, 2, 3. Now, let the lips glide forward using the rear part of the lips, the part near the corner of the mouth and the part right under the opening of the nostrils and the part near the chin. 1, 2, 3. Don't hold them stiffly up there. 1, 2, 3, but let them glide back and forth. 1, 2, 3. Back, normal, tongue moving, lips relaxed. 1, 2, 3. Gliding the rear parts of the lips forward. 1, 2, 3. Back, feeling, and as you're actually moving these lip structures, now start to picture or imagine that energy in the center of the mouth, and imagine it moving forward, activating the muscles of the lips and energy buzzing around in the structure up front rather than in the center of the cavity. 4, 5, 6. 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9. 7, 8, 9. 10, 11, 12. 10, 11, 12. Now, a slight refinement. I want you to overbalance the movement forward of the bottom lip, so that the top lip is not pursing too far. One, two, three, four. It's more the both lips come forward, but most of the work now is being done by the bottom lip. One, one, one. It's almost like the bottom lip is sticking out slightly further than the top. One, two, one, two, one, two. Lead with the part of the lip just above the chin. One, two, three. One, two, three. You might even think of yourself as pulling in toward the teeth, toward the lower canine teeth, the part of the bottom lip that's at the very corner of the mouth, the sidemost part of the bottom lip. One, 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 two, three. So that most of this forward push is being controlled by the bottom lip and by that particular structure on the bottom lip. Again, let's integrate this all together. Let's do speaking, feeling the resonance, visualizing the energy in the back, rear tongue movement, but not a lot of lip movement. One, two, three, four, five. Now visualize forward. Imagine it forward, feel the energy up there, and go with both lips, but more with the bottom lip. One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five. Even if you don't do the inflections. One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five. Six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Six, seven, eight, nine, ten. With the inflections and the push, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. 1 to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. A little bit more push, a little bit more inflection. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Definitely concentrate most of the change and the tension of the muscularity onto that part of the bottom lip that's moving forward. The sides of the bottom lip near the corner of the mouth. Also, the overall notion that the back of the lips, rather than the frontmost parts of the lips, are pushing it forward. This is going to be extremely important for some of the pronunciations later on. But the overall concept that you must think about is that the sound is no longer in the center or rear part of the mouth. That the lip structure and the certain way that the lip is coming forward is surrounding the sound and muscularizing the sound, initiating the sound more from a muscular speech impulse that is forward and primarily from that lower lip. Again, 1 to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, the most important factor here is that even if you're doing more of a monotone Scandinavian, Northern Scandinavian without the inflections, as we were talking about before, this structure of the mouth with the concentrated attention of the lower lip is going to give you the overall effective, legitimate sound of the native speakers of this region without going anywhere near the stereotype. One of the things that I was alluding to in the earlier part of the tape is that many of the speakers of Scandinavian, and you notice I've really put almost a mute on any of the inflectional usage here, that most of the speakers of these languages who are fairly fluent in English do not sound to American ears as they would expect Scandinavians to sound, especially the Northern Scandinavians. In my practice as a dialect coach in Hollywood, when people come and ask me for a Swedish accent, they expect that there has to be all of those inflections in order to push us forward. But if the overall muscularity, the overall way that the structure of the bottom lip is gliding forward, not holding stiffly all the time, but gliding forward and coming back at the ends of the words, then this general impression of authenticity is going to be there. I would normally, as I do in most of the tapes, start with the consideration of this muscularity, but it felt that it was necessary to start with a consideration of inflection here, because the notion of how that inflection works so dominates the concepts of many non-Scandinavians about how does languages work and how the accents sound when they're imposed on a second language, in this case, English, as a second language. Go back and study several times this notion of the placement of the tone. Go over the exercises. Integrate the exercise with the placement of the tone, with the use, especially the limited inflectional, intonational use of the up and down pitch to stress certain words, but not carrying it to an extreme. This is the end of the discussion initially of the resonance of Scandinavian northern languages and their accents on English, and we will now be going on to pronunciation.